The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that existed in a time where cheating on the internet meant emails and not dick pics. Businesses closing meant other physical businesses were opening. And Tom Hanks had a black friend?
The movie where Meg Ryan played a humble, salt-of-the-earth girl who only made $350,000 a year and spent $75 on groceries in 1998? Are you kidding me? She could buy and sell my ass.
And the movie where Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks fell in love.
Joe versus the Volcano?
No, the other one.
Ah, Sleepless in Seattle.
No, the other one.
Big New York Asses, number 42?
No, the other one. This is You've Got Mail on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast countdown the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are talking about the 1998 rom-com hit, You've Got Mail.
This is that romantic comedy about them having mail.
Yes. So this is the, aged like a fine wine film.
This is more Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan who've done two movies before this. And
that's right.
A lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
They're both, I mean, Meg Ryan's cute as a button. Very, very pretty. Tom Hanks, very charming.
Yeah, it's Hanks,
in
man.
In a funny way. Yeah, exactly. But then we add it's the AOL most, like, fucking email on this
right,
thing.
Yeah.
And
you got to get that that marketing money, you know?
Yeah. It's hilariously ironic.
Yeah.
This movie.
In many, many ways.
It aged very funny to me because it's not just dated in a way that's like, oh, look what they're wearing. Look what they're talking about email. Look at this. They're legitimately talking about new technology phasing out old technology in the way that we talk about cell phones phasing out fucking old, like emails right. And shit. And they talk about giant bookstores phasing out smaller businesses and the way we talk about Amazon phasing out giant bookstores.
Yes.
Like it's
or every company, period.
Oh yeah. Exactly. It's hilariously ironic.
Yeah, there's a really great moment where Greg Kinnear I think Meg Ryan's saying something about how he has to, you know, embrace all this new technology and how amazing it is. And Greg Kinnear's like, technology. We had everything we needed in 86. And, you know, back in 98, me, young, spry, you know, computer-knowing guy, I would have been like, psh, this old fuddy-duddy. Now that I'm the old fuddy-duddy, I'm like, you know what? He might be right.
We had everything we needed back in 96.
That's right. We, you know, 98, we didn't really need any better than that.
It starts off with, like, terrible computer graphics, first of all, are very hilarious. Also,
and a really bad song.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a really bad song. And it was like old Macintosh. It wasn't even Macintosh. It was like old PC computer graphics.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. But let's get the numbers on this.
Oh, yeah. Back in 98, this movie made $115,821,000.
Not bad.
That's a shit ton of money. I was very surprised to see this fucking movie on the list. I didn't think it made that much money. But watching it now, it creates the fucking formula for Lifetime movies, particularly Christmas movies, that make so much money on their own that it makes sense that it hit every woman, every couple at the time, like right in where they needed it. It's also not a good movie.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's got moments. I mean, Nora Ephron is a very funny writer. So there are scenes and lines in this movie that still get a chuckle.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's a weird one.
Yeah. So we talked about Moonstruck before.
We have talked a couple of times about Moonstruck. Fun movie.
It was a fun movie about why it's great to cheat.
Why it's great to cheat.
This movie kind of has that too.
Yeah. This movie is also about cheating being great.
Yeah. And I do remember chat rooms. And I do remember it being perfectly okay to go on a chat room
and cyber sex?
Talk to a chick. I mean, I don't know. Nowadays, it's not even okay to like a girl's Instagram if you're in a relationship.
Right.
But back then, I feel like
well, but also back then, everybody was guys. So that's true. You knew you weren't talking to a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And there's a point in this movie where I was just like, ooh, this was before like catfishing and shit. You know what I mean? Before there were catfish. Yeah. So before you would be like, oh, it's a guy pretending to be another guy.
Yeah.
So back then you were just like, oh, he's probably like married or fat. And right. Like, that's kind of
That's Meg Ryan's friend's real concern is that he's either married or fat. When any of us would have been like, well, no, it's a scam.
It's clearly a guy scamming you. Yeah. It's a guy pretending to be somebody else.
It would be more likely, especially for Tom Hanks's character, because he's a rich guy.
Yeah.
So, oh, you meet this cute girl online? Yeah, no, that's not a cute girl.
That's
man.
Not happening.
That's not a cute girl.
Nope. Nowadays, we know, that's a common thing. Everybody fucking does it for some reason. But yeah, it's funny to watch it now. It's weird. It also never goes for broke with the cheating thing. It makes it like lets them bail out of the relationship before.
Yeah, that is interesting because so this movie is based on a play, which was also a movie, which was also another play.
A Hungarian play.
Yeah, it's a Hungarian play that got turned into a Jimmy Stewart movie.
Yeah.
They got turned into a Broadway musical. And also, I think, ran in New York as just a regular play. Or the Hungarian play or whatever.
And it's got a lot of influences on a lot of other movies and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole, they start off cantankerous and against each other. But, that thin line, love and hate.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's something kind of funny about them not knowing that they're talking to each other.
Right. You can anytime you can get that... audience knows something that the characters don't.
Yeah, the dramatic tension type of deal.
That dramatic irony.
Yeah, dramatic irony. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, you get that. We know what's going on, but they don't know what's going on. So to watch them interact with each other is a hilarious set of misunderstandings.
Exactly. And then you can always do the lines where the audience is like, but he's talking about it, but he doesn't know that
he's making it worse. He is.
Yeah. So the reason I brought up the old ones is that none of them had them already in relationships.
Yeah, this was the only one.
Yeah.
Cool, because back then you couldn't do that shit.
No, you definitely couldn't have done that back in 1940.
Yeah, you can't pretend like it's okay to cheat, even though it was perfectly okay to cheat. How else do you not kill yourself? Yeah, exactly. That's why you have secretaries.
Exactly.
It's
the only reason you had secretaries. That's why they let women work.
Yep. Oh, my God. I mean, we joke, but that's probably like 100% true.
Yeah.
They were like, well, because the thinking back then was that guys could work, but women didn't know how to work. But then you're like, well, but what about that sexy lady? Then she would be around me all the time. And then, you hire her to be sexy around you all the time. And then you're the guy from Mad Men.
Right.
Yeah. Drinking scotch.
Getting it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Drinking scotch, getting it in.
But yeah.
And somehow being sad about it all the time. I never understood that. Why is he so sad?
Turns out, man. Turns out scotch and pussy are not all the answers that we thought they were.
I don't know.
We're just gonna have to keep trying
until
we figure out whether or not that's true. Every older single guy that I've ever talked to at a bar has told me that it's not true, but still I feel like I want to figure out my own.
I can figure it out.
Yeah,
I think I can find the magic path.
I can figure out a sweet spot. Yeah. I'm not gonna one day wake up old and alone and just sad
and
drunk and bad news at the doctor's office.
Nobody's bringing his food.
No, I'm the one that's going to figure it out. Yeah. So we started with two fucking actually awesome couples. First of all, I think the most attractive, cool people. Like, it's like Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
And Meg Ryan. And then Tom Hanks with
Parker Posey.
Yeah. Who's fucking great.
Yeah.
And like, she's, and especially in this character, she brings like a cool level of snarky sexiness. Mm-hmm. To her that I really, really like. But I was already like, I mean, obviously they both, her and Greg Kinnear, are painted off as pretentious assholes.
Yeah.
But I was still like, yeah, that's cool. Those are all power couples. Those are both power couples, I thought.
Yeah. And it is that thing. And they give some lip service to it later that at least on paper, they're perfect couples, right? Because you have Meg Ryan owns this small bookstore. She's very, artsy and into, that kind of
great taste, Bohemian. They say at one point. Yeah, exactly.
And, Greg Kinnear's this newspaper writer, but he writes for kind of this very liberal, alternative newspaper.
But he's fairly successful.
Yeah, fairly successful.
Yeah, people and really like his shit.
Yeah, and then, Tom Hanks, of course, owns, or is co-owner in his family's business that owns all these giant mega bookstores, and Parker Posey is an editor. She's a book editor.
Yeah.
So like a big company.
That makes sense. Yeah. She can publish her books. Fox and Friends is the name of the bookstore. So it's really funny because
Fox and Sons.
Fox and Sons, yeah. Right. Which is actually a pretty good name for a bookstore.
Yeah.
Fox and Sons.
We're perfectly fine.
But it's really funny because right away, the whole plot is He's going to build this new in the upper West Side, right?
I think so.
Wherever the rich people lived in fucking New York, apparently.
Yeah. Or is it in Brooklyn?
It's somewhere where people don't want gentrification back then. They don't want big stores back then. And he is going to open up this big store there, and they're concerned about people picketing and shit like that and people not wanting him in the community. And his awesome fucking dad, one Dabney Coleman, who
returning champion from the 80s.
Oh, yeah, man. I was super happy to see him in this.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah. And he plays his dad, and he's got like a fucking 40-year-old wife that's always hitting on Tom Hanks, and a pretty funny bit.
Yes.
Yeah. He also has like a kid who's Tom Hanks' aunt.
Right, who's 5, 6?
Yeah, something like that. There's a whole thing about that.
And then Tom Hanks' grandfather, Dabney Coleman's dad, also married a super young chick and has like a... one of them has a little boy, one of them has a little girl.
The little boy is his brother.
All right, so the little boy is Dabney Coleman's
son, and the little girl is his grandfather's.
Maybe 9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his grandfather's son.
So that's his aunt.
He comes from a long line of woodsmen.
Yes.
He comes from a long line of...
Well, you find out later, there's the great scene with him when Dabney Coleman... Where there he's talking about all his various wives, and they were all Tom Hanks's nannies.
Yeah. All checks out.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really funny.
So there's giant bookstores coming in, and Meg Ryan obviously is worried. But before that, we get that they're chatting. They're already chatting.
Right.
They've already been chatting in the movie.
We are in media res. They are internet friends.
Yeah, it starts off with the AOL, like the fax sounds and shit like that coming up, and like you've got
the modem sounds.
Yeah, the modem sounds.
For those that, and I don't want to continuously go back to the like, well, you know,
back then,
but yeah. You had to dial up.
Everybody knows. Yeah, you had to dial up, and then you just get one pop up window where you would chat with each other or email each other, I guess. And they're having a back and forth relationship where they have set up rules where they're not supposed to know anything specific. No personal shit.
No names.
Yeah.
No pictures.
This is, make no bones about it. This is an affair. They're having an affair.
They're having an affair. And it's also weird that Tom Hanks, who is a very rich and successful man, is cool with just chatting it up.
Yeah, I guess that's what he needed.
Yeah.
And then there's a great scene actually in the beginning where Meg Ryan shows up to the bookstore and she's super happy and peppy because she talked to Tom Hanks. And then her friend is like, oh, you're in love. And she's like, no, be quiet. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, Greg Kinnear, I'm in love. And I was actually like, warning sign number one, 100% an affair. Like, don't pretend like it's not. That is exactly what happened if you're having an
affair. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So the movie's perfectly cool with that. So right away, we're leading into like, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, the moral of the movie is definitely fine. If you're not 100% satisfied in your relationship, you should start shopping around.
Yeah, especially in a like faceless online thing where you can just be like, well, it doesn't
be
mean
completely
anything
safe. And
Yeah, exactly. Well, she lives in the fucking Seattle.
So yeah, it's never going to
it's never gonna happen. It's just it's flirting.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Try that.
it's always worked.
They don't know who each other are, obviously. Tom Hanks goes into that bookstore with his aunt and brother,
right? So he takes them out on a day on the town, and just him and the kids having a blast. And it's a kid's bookstore, Meg Ryan's store, which is called The Shop Around the Corner as an homage to the Jimmy Stewart movie,
the original Jimmy Stewart movie.
Yeah. It's a kid's bookstore, so they pop in there because they're having a live reading.
Yeah. The kids have a good time and all that stuff. Then Tom Hanks goes up to pay for his shit, and it's $73.
Yeah, and he's like, what?
Yeah, 1998, $73 for books.
For kids' books.
Yeah, that. That's $4,000 now.
Yep.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. And every time, this movie progressively for me got more like, what? As far as like money that they were spending?
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ, these people are really rich.
Yeah.
But you know, I know it's New York and they talk a lot about how expensive it is to live in that area.
Right.
But still, I was like, Jesus, this is 98. Yeah, she makes like, he's like, I bet you your shop only makes $350,000 a year.
And yeah, it's a lot
of
money.
Jesus Christ.
But as I was pointing out to you earlier, she also has 4 employees when she really needs... Two,
yeah. Her and the old lady who's been there since her mom was there.
Yeah.
Oh, there's also the talk about his grandfather used to date her mom.
That's right.
Probably like 40 years younger than him at the time. So they got it wrong. The foxes got
it in.
Yeah. Yeah, they get it in with the young girls.
Yeah. No, very good stuff.
He should have been dating from the very beginning, like a 20-year-old.
Yes.
Instead of Parker Posey.
I mean, it would have made the transformation a little more impactful. Like, if you established that Tom Hanks was a lot like his father and grandfather, and he was sleeping yes. with young chicks and having all these kind of meaningless relationships, then the fact that he's talking to a person that he's never met, and it's all just a
yeah, it's not mental like relationship. Bimbos. Yeah, and, exactly. yeah, no. But Parker Posey, as much as she's a bitch, she's obviously a very smart person.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, she's a super successful businesswoman.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. I think if you would have been like a dumb ditzy, then it would yes. make sense why he's doing more work.
If he was dating
doing.
Like a stripper or something.
Yeah. Well, also, yeah. it would have been better for us. We some stripper
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. If Parker Posey was playing a stripper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd have done for some young Parker Posey yeah, playing of a stripper. Course. Yeah. But you're right. Like, it's, I wish it would have, they would have gone that way because it's kind of set up that way. But I feel like it's one of those things where they were probably like, this is Tom Hanks. We can't have him do that.
Yeah, he's got a certain
yeah, exactly. That, yeah. People don't go see Tom Hanks movies to see him date a 20-year-old.
Yeah, no.
No, they go to see 8-year-old Tom Hanks date a 20-year-old then.
That's right.
Yeah, big. This is what we yeah. this is what we want. We want the other way. Go the other way around. So then they meet. That's the first time they meet. We know that they're the ones talking to each other.
Right.
They hate each other right away because he's putting her out of business.
Well, she doesn't know. I mean, she doesn't hate him in that scene because she doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
And he keeps it secret because he realizes.
Yeah, that he's going to put her out of business and right. stuff.
And he's already talked about it to his best friend in the world. Goddamn Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. I was very surprised.
I was very surprised and Dave delighted.
Yeah, yeah, Dave me Chappelle too. In this movie. I was like, oh shit, he's just walking with Tom Hanks, being a regular guy.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to the internet, it's because he passed him the part of Bubba in Forrest Gump. I don't know how true that is. I feel like Dave Chappelle at the time wouldn't have passed on a part.
No. But in 94 was Forrest Gump. Nobody knew who Dave Chappelle was.
I mean, maybe if they offered him to him right after Men in Tights, but I think it was the other way around.
Yeah, probably right. I guess, that's true. Men in Tights.
Yeah, maybe if they came after Men in Tights, it's like, nah, I'm not going to do the small part. But he was never like, I don't know. I don't know.
His Men in Tights part is way smaller than Bubba and Forrest Gump.
And way less meaningful because it's a hilarious Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's I don't know if I believe that, but apparently that's what happened. So then Tom Hanks was like, oh, well, I want to work with you eventually. And then he kind of talked to him. But it's cool. He's just like he's just his best friend.
Yeah, he's just his best. He's just like the rando best friend that's in every rom-com.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get anything to do.
No, he's usually
like three good lines.
It's usually like a Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Or like Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
he's played that role several times.
Yeah. He's one of those guys. He's kind of a dickhead best friend. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Well, and they don't even give Chappelle, like a lot of times with the best friend, you have them hook up with another kind of ancillary character.
He doesn't even get that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's very little to do.
But he does it.
He could have hooked up with Steve Zahn. We haven't even mentioned Steve Zahn in this movie, which was also delightful to see.
Yeah.
I was like, goddamn Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn's in this
rocking
shit?
This like long hair, young, like supple Steve Zahn.
And being a weird bookstore guy.
Yeah. Again, really no reason for him to be in the movie.
No.
It almost made me wonder, was Nora Ephron just a Steve Zahn fan?
Probably.
She's like, let's get Steve Zahn in here. Who's he going to play? I'll write something.
Yeah, I'll put a guy in there.
I'll put a guy in
there. I'll give him half of the lines of the friend that works with her at the bookstore.
Right, the lady friend that's clearly supposed to be like her soundboard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll give her half of the lines and we're fine.
Yep.
Maybe add a little bit more comedy to some Zahn. Yeah. Yeah, it was funny to see him super young and like, I don't know, like late 90s
rock star type hipster. Of dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was before hipster was a thing, but he's very hip in that like late 90s.
Like he could have worked in the High Fidelity record store.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or in the, what's the other one with the fucking...
Empire Records?
Empire Records. Yeah. He could have worked at Empire Records. Yeah. He could have been there quick.
He could have been at, I don't know, Lollapalooza or Burning Man back in the 90s before when it was indie bands and not... fucking Tupac holograms.
Yeah, exactly. Without being like, oh, this is a token young guy. He's just like a guy. Then we're kind of, it's weird. Their ages are weird to me. Everybody kind of dressed like that, I guess, back then. So, because I was like, how old is Tom Hanks in this movie?
Like in real life?
Yeah. What is he, like 40?
You know, he's the usual Tom Hanks age, infinity.
35 to 45?
35 to 45.
Yeah. Yeah. He literally is 35 to 45. He dresses like he's 45. But he's like charming and talkative and does like kind of like funny things like he's 35. Like, I don't know. He's the age is a little bit weird, but it's one of those things where it's just like everybody's a universal age that everybody can relate to.
Right.
It's a, like so I was
Tom
saying.
Hanks was born in 56. This movie came out in 98.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So he was 40, like
so
42.
So he was like 41, 42 when
they shot. Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense. But yeah, like we talked about, this is a perfect Lifetime movie. Everybody's the same age as everybody watching it.
Right.
Everybody's wearing the same shit that probably everybody watching it. Even there's a scene where Meg Ryan, it's at the very end, not to jump ahead, but she's hanging out with Tom Hanks and then she leaves and she's going to go on a date. And when she was leaving, I was like, she's dressed like garbage. Like, yeah. She looks fucking terrible. And then she gets dressed and she comes out. And I'm like, oh, now she's dressed like she's 65. Like, she's never in any way stylish to me or hip. She's just like a picture that you would pick out in a fucking Collingberg.
You know what she is? She is the, when you buy a picture frame and there's a family inside.
Yes.
She's just the most generic. Yeah.
The girl in the picture frame. She's that's exactly right. The family in the picture frame.
Has there been a movie called The Girl in the Picture Frame?
There's probably a Lifetime movie, a Hallmark movie about that shit. It
probably is.
Set in that town in Canada. It's
and it's
Christmas
the actual
time.
Girl that's her job, but she's never found true love because nobody sees her for the real person she is.
Yeah. And then the guy kind of like gets, like puts up the picture and leaves her picture in there. And
right. He falls in love with the image of her, but then he has to learn that the real her is a different person and come to accept her, even though she's not the person that he imagined her to be.
Yeah. And he's a rich guy, you know, so his heart is like calloused and frozen.
No, he's a jackass.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. He's a jackass. He doesn't
but,
know.
You know, she can change him.
Yeah. Exactly. With the power of Christmas?
The power, obviously, is taking place at Christmas. Come on.
Of Christmas and a sassy gay friend?
Yes.
It's all you fucking need.
Yep.
I was surprised it was not a sassy gay friend in this one, actually.
That's true. That is surprising.
Yeah. I was really surprised. Yeah, well, because they went with the High Fidelity guy.
Right.
Yeah.
They went
Sam.
Went with Steve Zahn, and they went with the girl who's also been in a bunch of different things and was quite cute.
Yeah, she is very cute.
But, and the old lady. They went for the old lady for
they
like,
went
her,
with the old lady character.
Her kind of shenanigan quotes.
Birdie
like when
or
she,
something like that, right?
You find out she was dating. It wasn't Mussolini. Who was it? It was like the Spanish.
It was Generalissimo Franco.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
Which was also a thing that I was like, huh, I guess that's funny. But like, I guess in 98 it was funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they went with that instead of the gay friend. Anyway, then they're still chatting to each other about each other.
Right.
We don't know that.
And about their scenarios and stuff because they run into each other. She eventually finds out that who Tom Hanks really is and that the store is... Yeah, because at first she's trying to put on a happy face.
Well, so first of all, they hate each other. Yeah, she finds out that it's at a party.
Yeah, she finds out who it is at a party.
He's kind of a rude millionaire.
Right.
Like, in a funny way. He's taking all the caviar for himself.
Right.
Greg Kinnear likes him.
Greg Kinnear gets... So Parker Posey shows up and starts flattering Greg Kinnear.
That's right.
Because she's a big
Parker
fan.
Posey likes Greg Kinnear.
Yeah,
that's
she's
right.
A big fan of his writing. And so... And Greg Kinnear's whole character throughout this movie is... He just wants to be praised.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just
and he's
desperate
about old
for...
shit. He wrote a whole fucking thing on his typewriter and how much he loves his typewriter.
Right.
And he owns all these typewriters.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty funny because he's a character that's like, yeah, computer schmishmuters. Like, I don't want any computers. That's for, you know, that's, I don't need that. I got my old trusty typewriter.
That's right.
And it's
but and he's into he's into like classical music and like he's very much of that kind of sort of liberal
and nowadays
bohemian
it would be like, I don't need to be on my phone all the time
it's like I don't even own a TV he's that
like
guy
that. He's that guy
yeah
so right away you hate him a little bit.
A little bit but she starts flattering him for his writing which just makes him rock hard so then he likes them and Meg Ryan of course is fuming because at first she's thinking like, oh, it'll be fine. We're a children's bookstore. People will still come here for children's books. It's not going to affect us. But then clearly it is.
Yeah.
So by this point she's like, Fox.
Exactly. She has that old school. This big box store is going to come in, but they don't know anything about books
right.
and authors. And I guess at the time that made sense. In 1998. Your database was just, you can only look it up by the name or the author. That's
right.
What you would have in a big bookstore.
Yep.
Nowadays, I could be like, yeah, but you know what? Give me 4 minutes to Google it and I will tell you everything you need to know about it.
Right.
Yeah. It's one of those things. But back then it was just like.
Back then you had to rely on people actually knowing stuff.
Actually knowing books and shit like that. Also, though, she's just talking about the children's like.
Right. Well, I mean, she's a children's bookstore. Yeah. Yeah. But also, well, and if you're buying a book for a kid, you know, you're just buying a book for kids. Yeah, like, who cares? It's a kid's book.
It's a kid's book. Like, you're not like,
what kid's book was voted best by New York Times? Who fucking cares? It's for a child. It's for a 3-year-old.
Even young adult books are garbage.
Yeah.
Like, they're just about fucking cats being from outer space or pumpkins coming to life.
You just roll in there.
Teachers being bad. Like,
you just roll in there. You grab whatever the fucking, I don't know, sidewalk. What was it? Yeah. Silverstein. Right?
Oh yeah, Silverstein stuff. Yeah,
you grab some Silverstein. Like you grab some Dr. Seuss. Shit. You grab the Giving Tree or whatever the fuck that is, and you're good. Yeah, who cares?
And you know they get older, and then you like pick.
This one has a cat on the cover. My kid likes cats.
Done.
Fine. Done. Who cares?
And even the book that she's reading, I was like, why are these kids into this fucking book about a guy putting a dead mouse in a cookie jar? Like, that's the part that she's reading.
Yeah.
And I was just like, she could be reading fucking anything.
Yep.
And these kids would be eating it up just because there's a lady reading it.
Yep.
And there's also cutesy shit all around them, stuffed animals and shit like
right.
that.
Right, they like
need.
Toys.
That's all you need. It's a kids' bookstores. That's why they're a thing of the past. There's no need for you to fucking pander to your kids like that. Just let them read whatever. Eventually, they get to an age where you want to pick a book where somebody deals with like racial stuff. Or
do you?
Yeah, like eventually you get to like young adult stuff, like middle school stuff.
So get, like cowboys shooting people in the face.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Like Maniac McGee or To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But the school takes care of that. Why am I going to buy him that book?
Yeah, I'm not buying that. The school is like...
I'm not going to read him that fucking book.
Yeah, no.
No, let the teacher deal with all his questions about fucking... about N-word Jim and...
Yeah, no. if they're graduating from kids' books into young adult, I got Lord of the Rings on the shelf, man. Just pick that shit up.
Just read that from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the rest of your life.
That's right.
And some H.P. Lovecraft. Some H.P. Lovecraft.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe, again, not the one with the cat. Let's name Edward Cat. Maybe not that one. But, you know, all the other H.P. Lovecraft stuff.
What's the one with the Edward Cat? Is it, like, super racist or something?
Yeah, that's the name of the cat.
Edward Cat?
N-word Cat.
Oh, N-word. I thought you said N-word. I was like, no. What's the problem? Edward's a fine name for a cat.
No, N-word Cat. That was the name of the cat.
Oh, okay.
Also, it's a weird name to have for a cat. Like, if I name a cat Whitey Cat, it's still a weird name for a cat.
It is.
You'll still be like, that's a weird thing to have the word cat in his name.
Yeah.
I guess, like, Super Cat would be kind of a cool name for a cat.
That's true. Mega Cat? Mega Ultra Zord Cat?
Oh, yeah. That'd be a cool name for a cat.
Yeah.
Optimus Cat?
Cat Prime?
Yeah. All right. Now
cat
I wanna,
Prime's not bad.
Now I want to name some cats. Yeah. Cat Prime? Yeah. You have to keep it, what is it, two syllables, right? So Cat Prime checks out.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, you just pick a book for whatever fucking your kid. But I get the charm of it, and it's true.
It's very charming.
It's nice to have those things.
It's like any of these other things that are out there that it's very charming. I love the little small boutiques.
Yeah, they're
stores
all super,
and stuff.
Super cool.
They're all super
thrift
charming
stores. Yeah.
Until you get to the cash register and they want $73 for a book. And
that's exactly
like,
what happens.
You know what? Actually, I can't. I don't know.
Fuck,
I can't do that.
You.
Yeah.
Man. And well, there's a scene where he's showing him, Steve Zahn's showing him the book, and he's like,
yeah.
And look at the tipping on the illustrations. And is that why it's cost so much? And he's like, that's why it's worth so much, or something like that.
Right.
Again,
which I get for a collector's item.
Yeah.
This is the rare collector's item thing.
We're still eBay.
It's
still the beginning of eBay at that point. So you get some shit.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, it's only a couple years from eBay, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it's definitely still, I mean, the 90s were a big collector's market era.
Yeah. Not as much as now, but nowadays it's just all about pop culture collecting.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know, I'm not going to say that Meg Ryan's business was obsolete, but...
Yeah.
Which also hits us a little bit true to heart because the People's Choice Video shut down
right
this
former,
year.
Former sponsor of the show, People's Choice Video, sponsored all of our 80s episodes.
Because it became... Well,
because
it was COVID.
Because it was a video store in the
because 90s. Because it used to be a video store in the 90s.
Yeah, today.
In 2020,
right.
There was no place for a fucking video store anymore. There's place for one video store in the world. And that's what we have. We have one Blockbuster up in.
Yeah. I mentioned this earlier to you off mic. It was very relatable the way in which when she's shutting down the store, you have all these people coming in like, oh no, you can't be shutting. Oh, I used to love this place. It's like, yeah, motherfucker, used to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where were you the last couple of months when I was fucking dying over here, drowning? Thanks to Fox and Sons.
Right. And even her like friend that's the author ends up doing a reading at Fox.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Fucking betrayal on that.
Which I saw coming a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
When she shows up and she's like, are you guys going to be okay? I got a book coming out in January, but will you guys still be up? And I was like, oh, she's going to jump ship.
Yeah.
Also, the name of her book, best-selling children's author for The Geometry Problem from Hell and Other Catastrophes of My Semi-Life.
Which what?
Yep. And then the other book was The Algebra Hysterics. Those are the worst fucking sounding names for books ever. If I was a kid.
Nope.
I will not.
Hard pass.
Hard pass. Yeah. First of all, there's no My Teacher's an Alien.
Right.
Or like The Secret of the Hidden Room.
I want secrets. I want aliens.
Yeah. I would make like monsters or even anything mystery when you're a fucking young adult. Yes. That's all you care about. Maybe some dinosaurs in there. Whatever, whatever you can get in there. Some time travel. Right. But like
I mean, I get that they're going for math and it's an educational book, but they have hell in one of the titles.
Yep, The Geometry Problem from Hell and Other Catastrophes.
Yeah, that wouldn't have flown. I know it's New York in the 90s, but when I grew up in small town Arizona, that you can't have hell on a kid's book.
No, you
fucking
can't.
Kidding me?
In all of a fucking America, man, you can't. Texas was the biggest fucking market back then. You can't have hell in there. Yeah, so maybe it was a joke. Maybe they were just like,
I'm sure it's ridiculous. I'm sure it's Nora Ephron joking.
Yeah, but, yeah. The most ridiculous name for a fucking movie.
Like I said, she's a funny girl. I mean, this movie has a lot of funny lines.
I mean, she did direct Sleeps in Seattle.
Well, she wrote When Harry Met Sally, which we talked about. Yeah. Which was her big hit. And then she's done a ton of other...
Yeah, she wrote a lot of stuff. Her directing is not the best. She directed like Michael.
Yeah, Michael's rough.
Bewitched. Ugh. Yeah.
Bewitched is also rough.
And I think the last one she did was that Julie and Julia, which I heard is really good. Julia Child.
Oh, the one with Martha, or not Martha Stewart, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, yeah.
They're the same woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She's actually playing Julia Child. It's pretty close. But so her directing's just kind of okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a good writer, though.
Yeah, she is. But then, all right, so if it feels like we're trying to figure out what to talk about in this movie, it's because it's exactly that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like, oh, they're talking to each other, chatting, and then there's a scene in the grocery store.
Right.
Which is ridiculous, first of all. So we established that she hates him.
Right.
She gets Greg Kinnear to write a piece on the bookstore, which does well for them.
And they get news coverage, and she calls out Fox and Sons and kind of paints him in a poor light.
It was pretty funny.
Yes.
It was a pretty funny bit.
He falls off the treadmill.
Yeah. Which he's on with Dave Chappelle, who is 82 pounds. So he does not even a treadmill.
This is pre-swole Chappelle.
Yeah, so exactly.
He's 82 dripping wet.
Very skinny Dave Chappelle. But they're on the treadmill. He gets painted in a very negative. So they're enemies. He gives her some advice on how to... That's why she does it. Because he's
her advice to crush. Crush your enemies. See them driven before you and hear the lamentation of the women.
Yeah. There's a lot of Godfather quotes in this movie.
There is a lot of Godfather. Tom Hanks loves him some Godfather.
Yeah. Which is also a funny bit where he keeps quoting Godfather and then Greg Kinnear's like, oh yeah, that's from The Godfather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's like, what is it with men and God and The Godfather?
Yeah. Well, they do that and then they do the reverse of that with Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
She loves that book and he tries to read it like three times and keeps like throwing it on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's men and women. Am I right?
It's like they're from different planets or something.
Men love Godfather. Women love Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
Bookstore. I don't know. She goes to this grocery store, which is apparently like a famous grocery store in New York. Yeah. And from what I read,
New York. It's not a famous store if only people from New York know
fucking
it.
Fucking New York, man. It's world a lot of that
famous
shit
in New
movie.
York.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. World famous New York, better than everybody else in the fucking world. Also, I hate it here.
Yeah.
So everybody fucking in New York says to me, man. The rent is ridiculous and everybody's stepping on each other and, it's probably actually pretty cool to live there.
Yep.
But she goes grocery shopping and she's trying to avoid him, so she gets in the line that's cash only. And then Tom Hanks does this thing where he does the worst job of charming a cashier that I've ever fucking seen. And she falls for it. And I was like, ooh, come on, man. Like, they could have written them something better. Yeah. Tom Hanks probably had a lot of takes. They probably left it all to Tom Hanks. And he was just like, I don't know, man. I'm not writing your movie for you. Like, fine, I'll do it. And then they just picked the best one that he did. Because she's in a cash-only thing. And the lady's not letting her pay with credit for no reason.
For no reason. Because they have a credit card right there.
Right there. A credit card machine right there.
And it's not... Because at first I was saying, oh, maybe it's one of those things where they have to like slide it and write it.
It's old school. So they're like, you know, we got to hitch onto the fucking internet. But no, it's straight up like... And the Ethernet doesn't reach over here. No.
I mean, I guess it still has to dial up maybe. Mm-hmm. So that may take a minute.
But it's fucking... Sure as hell doesn't do it in this scene.
No, it's super fast.
So she won't let her... And everybody behind her is getting super mad. And they're like, Tom Hanks'
charming is just like, hey, what's your name? Jane?
It's Rose.
I don't care. Yeah. Anyways, Rose. Hey, Rose. Come on.
Yeah. He's like, happy Thanksgiving. Now you say that back. And she's like, happy Thanksgiving back. And then he's like, knock, knock. Who's there? Orange. Orange who? Aren't you going to let us charge this credit card? And then she's like, yeah. And I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever fucking seen. I was very disappointed in that. I wrote it down. I was like, worst charming clearly, I've ever seen. He charmed a fucking hooch way better than he. Then he charmed fucking Rose, that cashier, for that thing. There's no way. She would have easily been like, I got to call a fucking manager. Everybody would have gotten pissed off. Yep. Like, it would have been a big deal. But then also, the machine is working. So why not let everybody use a machine?
Yeah.
Because then she's like, fine.
It's a cash only line.
Yeah, but why?
It's like, why let those people through with 20 items in the 15 or less? Because you saw the goddamn sign.
Yeah, exactly.
It says 15 items, you fucking bastard.
Get in the right lane, I guess, is the moral of that story.
Yeah.
And then Meg Ryan, for herself, buys $73 also, worth of fucking groceries.
Yeah. Also, though, while we're on the subject of me complaining very loudly about assholes at the grocery store, if you don't know how to use the self-checkout lane, don't go in the goddamn self-checkout lane.
I mean, nobody knows how to use the self-checkout lane, but everybody thinks they do. Also, if you have a giant cart, let the fucking lady do it.
Yeah.
Like, scan your shit?
Yeah.
But I do think that most of those people are just ripping off the store is why.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah. Probably. Yes. They're like, well, I have two big giant bags of dog food. Scan, and I'm good to go.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that checks out. But, you know, it's Walmart. Fuck them.
That's a good point. I mean, after all, they did put all the niche bookstores out of the market.
Yeah. In the end, the big...
And niche everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What a lesson this movie taught us. Yeah, $72.27 is what she pays for groceries for herself.
Yep. And it wasn't a lot.
No, it was like two bags of groceries.
Yeah.
What the fuck kind of rich motherfucker? This is...
It's fancy New York?
It was a lot of like rich New York people problems in this movie.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, oh, they're worried about their boutique bookstore not doing well. And they're like, oh, we made $12,000 less this month than last year. And I was like, $12,000?
Yeah.
That's a shit ton of money in 98.
A lot of money, yeah.
Jesus Christ, what were you doing before with all your money?
Yep.
I mean, he had a boat. Well, also,
He has a boat, although it's not a very big one. I mean, if they would have focused more on, it's not about, because she's going to be fine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's more about the sentimental thing, because it was her mom's bookstore. Yeah.
He's killing her mom.
Exactly.
But she's still
murdering her mom with a knife.
And he still manages to manipulate her at the end into falling in love with him.
Yep. Because he finds out.
Yeah. I did want to talk about this before, talking about stuff that annoys us. They type the loudest that I've ever fucking heard in a movie in my fucking life. Oh my God.
Yeah, they type pretty loud.
It's like click, 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 click. Like, it's like the loudest typing, and it's not fast typing either. It's like kind of fast typing, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like if I was working in an office with that person, I would be like, oh my fucking God, man. Do you have to type that? Do you have to hit every key with all your strength from every finger?
How many keyboards have you destroyed this month?
Yeah. I it was driving me up the wall.
Yeah.
Every time they had one of those scenes where they were going back and forth, I was like, why is it typing so loud? Why is it so like It's like a knife stabbing
me
in the
fucking
head.
They really had to drive it home for the people.
Because in 98...
It's such a niche thing.
In 98, if you're a 45-year-old wife going to see this movie...
You've never emailed anyone.
Yeah. Exactly. So typing, you have to have... Because if not, you're like, what are they doing? They're standing in front of the TV. They're sitting in front of the TV. What are they doing? How are they talking to each other?
Yeah.
So you have to like bump up the sound effect, I guess.
Yep.
It was annoying as fuck. Yeah.
That's 100% what it was. I guarantee you they were in... They probably had a screening... And there were people, there were 45 and 50-year-old people being like, well, I don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah. Are they talking to each other through a television?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they talking on the phone? How did they not recognize each other?
And then whoever's up there being, they're typing to each other. What? I didn't hear the typing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why.
There's not a typewriter sound. Yeah. And that's why they had to like really hype that shit up. Oh, it was like the fucking... It was like hell's pitchfork.
Shamming
stabbing
into your ear.
Into my ear. Every fucking scene that they had where it was like that, I was like, I'm going to mute this shit. I don't even care because the typing was out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch this movie again. It's fucking ridiculous. Way over the top. But, you know, it also made me kind of like think that they were dumb. Simpletons. Like, I don't know. It just annoyed the fuck out of me. I don't know.
Fair.
Yeah. So then he finds out in a cool scene where he's finally like, should we meet? And at first she had dismissed him, but then she's like, yeah, you know what? Let's meet.
They're still with their significant others at this point.
Right.
So they go to meet. Tom Hanks brings Chappelle along because he's scared and he wants him to check it out first.
And Chappelle's way cooler than anybody in this movie.
Well,
so
yeah.
Makes sense.
Chappelle.
Yeah. You know. And then they go to the coffee shop. She's going to have...
He's like, is she hot? Is she good looking? What is she? You know, I don't know what to do. And Chappelle's like, no, she's cute.
Yeah. It's a fun scene.
Yeah.
He's like, she looks a lot like that lady that talks shit about you on the news. And he's like, I think it's because it's that lady that talks shit about you on the news. And then it turns out... So Tom Hanks now knows that it's her. So then he goes up and he does what I probably would do, which is just show up and kind of annoy her for a little bit. And fuck with her a little bit. You know what I mean? It is. It's a pretty funny scene. She's like, no, somebody's coming. And he's like, no. I'm going to sit down and we're going to talk. And I'm going to get a macchiato or whatever the fuck. They also complain about Starbucks in this movie, which people still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing that has aged perfectly.
Perfectly. Yeah. When he's like, people go to Starbucks because they don't know how to order a black cup of coffee. And he's talking about like all the choices you have. I'm like, yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I go to Starbucks, I don't know what I'm saying. I still don't know the sizes.
No, I have no idea.
No, I don't drink coffee that often.
Oh, I don't drink coffee from Starbucks that often because that shit is expensive.
It's expensive as fuck.
Yeah.
Also, I have
a coffee machine in my house.
Yeah. I'll buy some good coffee and make my own coffee or go to good places that I know have also expensive coffee, but it's better.
Yeah.
And not Starbucks, right.
You like the boutique. You want the person behind the counter that really knows the product.
No.
And can boutique
even that.
Sell you.
Even that, I'm like, $350? This is a fucking cold brew, man. Like, I saw you pour it out of a pitcher, dude. Yeah. Like, I'll make my own coffee.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee that often. But I do think it is ridiculous when girls, especially, I'm not going to say all, like only girls, but when people... Or are like, I can't get my day started without my coffee. And it's just like a fucking milkshake.
Yep.
It's like a triple macchiato fucking chocolate thing.
20 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm like, you don't like coffee.
You like sugar.
Yeah, exactly. You like milk and sugar. Yeah. That's all you like. Like... You like
chocolate, motherfucker.
Jack Kerouac liked coffee. Like, that guy was drinking whiskey and coffee, and that's it for 40 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's people that drink coffee black and, like, old school fucking, like, muddy coffee black. Those people like coffee.
Yeah.
Those people start their day off with fucking coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like milkshakes. Yeah. So don't say you like coffee. Yeah. Where you're getting a giant fucking milkshake. And I don't even like coffee that much, but that still irks me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, drink some fucking black coffee.
Don't be a fucking ridiculous human being. Yeah.
But anyway, we get to the point where he finds out that it's her, and then he kind of cuts her off a little bit online. And at this point, I thought he was going to bail out altogether.
Why would you think that? This is clearly a romantic comedy where they get together.
Yeah, exactly. No, and not bail out of the relationship, bail out of the online part.
Stuff? Oh, okay.
The online stuff. But then I was also like, no, they're going to develop it because this movie's called You Got Mail, and they're going to talk way more about AOL shit
mm-hmm.
and email shit. No, they do not do that.
They just kind of go back to the same thing.
They have a grasp. This movie has a grasp on what emailing was back then in what I assume like a 55-year-old Nora Ephron had a grasp on what that's emailing probably was right. back then, yeah. right? It's like, no, you just send emails to each other. She's like, oh, it's like, I get it. Electronic mail. It's just messages letters. That you send to each other. That's all I need to know, and that's all I'm going to put in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't need anything else about fucking chat rooms or any of that.
Well, because originally this is a... So the play and the subsequent movies, it's letters. Mm-hmm. They're writing letters.
Letters to each other, yeah.
And that's all this is.
That's all this is. They yeah. never... For calling it You Got Mail and starting with a shot of AOL... Fucking starting.
Yeah, there's
up.
No chat rooms. There's instant no talking messaging. About it. There's they no... don't go on a MIRC no. channel. Yeah.
There's no
JPEG sent that take 20 minutes exactly. to download.
Which I thought they were gonna get into. Yeah. I thought they were gonna get into like a
that
JPEG.
Whole thing where it's like starting to load and you're like, oh, is she gonna be pretty? Is she gonna be pretty?
And it's like too many MPEGs. yeah, I thought they were gonna. I was yeah. like really hoping that they were gonna do that. With Meg Ryan was gonna send a picture.
Yeah, let me tell
and
you,
couldn't
kids.
Fucking. He couldn't or pull he it couldn't up.
Download it because it's too big. It. Yeah.
Yeah, I because, really. Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you, kids. Trying to get porn in 1998. Mm-hmm. That was an experience. It was, you were very slowly getting the picture. You're like, oh, we're almost to the nipple. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, a little further in the nipples. Oh.
And if you got like what a GIF is now, you're like, oh, save that on your computer right now so yeah. it doesn't crash. And then burn it onto a floppy disk for me to take home.
Yeah.
Or
we're
a hard disk.
Three hard disks.
Three hard disks, yeah. I will go and decipher them at home. Yeah, I really was hoping that they would go that route where they're like talking about all the other shit that's happening with computers yeah, or even no. websites or even talking about like, look at our website for our bookstore and it's really ridiculous and dumb. Like, I really thought
that'd
they were
going
to. Not at all.
Yeah.
They don't cover, for being called You Got Mail, don't cover any of that online shit that they could have. They yep. could have exploited it a little bit. It's also like just the idea, and this is before it, I think is why. It's just treating it, and you're right, it's treating it like letters.
Right.
When in reality, it's not letters. Tom Hanks can create whatever persona he wants, and it's they're dating a computer screen.
Right.
It's like her is a perfect yeah. example of that, where he's dating a phone because relationships nowadays, you're dating a phone 99% of the time. You're talking to a person on the other side of the phone, and that relationship exists in the phone, and then you see each other once a week, and then you talk every single day through a phone.
Right.
So, like, they never even touch on that, on the idea that,
it's
like...
It's 1998.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I was disappointed in that. For being called You Got Mail, I really wanted some more AOL online shit.
Yeah, fair, fair.
Yeah. They abandoned that shit quick. Tom Hanks, again, knows what's going on. He decides to write her this whole thing of, like, I can't tell you why I couldn't meet you, but trust me, it's important.
Yeah. And everyone's just like, well, he's clearly... Well, actually, at first, there's a little funny thing about... Because there was a serial killer that just got
yeah,
caught.
Yeah, they got caught that same night. Like, yeah. That was actually pretty funny.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, because she's like, something must have happened. Because again, before Catfish, you were like, why wouldn't you meet?
Yeah.
Something must have happened.
Something crazy must have happened for this person not to meet me in person.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, oh, he probably fell in the train tracks at the subway. And then that's when they do the whole thing with the murderer.
Yeah.
It is also a good bit when she's like, he didn't show. And they're like, he stood you up? And she's like, no. And then Steve Zahn is like, he stood you up? And no. Yeah. And then the old lady's like, stood you up? Like, it was a pretty funny bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has to like kind of come clean, but just really be like, why? I cannot say.
And now that he knows that it's her, in real life, he starts trying to charm her.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Without telling her who he is.
He manipulates the situation
a little
to his advantage.
Because now he knows a lot of stuff about her.
Yeah, and he starts kind of downplaying online him.
Yes. So that was actually the funniest part. I was like, he's tanking him.
He's tanking himself. Yeah. He's using...
Even the stuff that he's writing back to her.
Yeah.
He's intentionally doing it to try and tank online him. So that real him can swoop in.
Yeah. So then he uses it to have her kind of fall for him. Then at the end, he reveals himself that it's him.
Right.
Was it necessary for him to reveal that it was him?
Absolutely not. Although right? it was because I feel like... If they don't have that scene, if he went through with the plan as it should have been, as any reasonable, rational man would have done, which is tank online him, make that guy a jackass, and then make yourself the cool guy
yeah.
and swoop in, and then just never mention it. Bury it deep, yeah, deep.
As any, you
just lie so hard that that becomes the truth.
As any successful relationship will do.
Yep. But if you do that, I think the audience would have revolted.
Yeah, the audience isn't on board with Tom Hanks.
The audience would not be on board with Tom Hanks totally lying to her for the rest of their fucking lives.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Because it's not. He could have just tanked himself and then been like, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I guess that's more manipulation.
Yes.
But I think if you go the other way, though, if Meg Ryan dumps online Tom Hanks,
mm-hmm.
then you're good. Because then Tom Hanks isn't using it for his advantage.
Yeah.
If he doesn't tank himself.
Yes. If he's still just doing him. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If she's like, if she writes him like a letter like, listen, what we're doing is fun, but it's not real.
Right.
Then you're covering your whole thing about cheating being okay because you're chatting.
Right.
What we have is fun, but not real.
Well,
but
and like you said,
a real life person.
And as you mentioned, they've already covered the cheating stuff to some extent because before they ever start getting together in real life, she has a meeting. She has a meeting. She has a very serious board meeting over Zoom with Greg Kinnear, where they talk about the
She schedules a meeting.
Yeah, she schedules a meeting. They have a breakup scene.
They go to the movie theater, and she says she's sorry for not voting, and he's like, "I forgave you," and then she gets upset about that.
Yes,
and then they have like they go to a restaurant where
Greg Kinnear's trying to break up with her, and she's like, "Great,
yeah, awesome,
yeah." I don't like you either.
They handle it like I wish every breakup was.
Oh my god, right?
If every breakup was like, "You don't love me, I don't love you," awesome.
Yeah.
Are you seeing somebody? No. Are you? No. All right, cool.
Cool.
Bye.
Handshake.
Yeah.
Dap it up.
Anyway, it was a cool couple of years.
Yeah, it was a great run.
Yeah. Instead, we'll drag it out.
We'll split this dinner and go about our business.
Greg and I should have been like, are you sure you don't want to drag this out for 3 more years till we hate each other and have the most brutal of breakups and all hate our friends or like hate us for?
Right.
Because I can do that.
Yeah. That would be far more realistic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be way more realistic. We all do that, actually. So let's do that.
Yeah. No, this breakup is great.
The elevator Parker Posey scene is good, too.
That was a good scene, yeah.
Yeah, they get stuck in an elevator. Parker Posey... It's actually a cool elevator because it's Michael Budicello or Budalucho from O Brother Where Art Thou.
Right, yeah.
He was Babyface in O Brother Where Art Thou. And Deborah Rush, who's like an old school comedian chick. She was on like Strangers with Candy and stuff. And she's great.
Yes.
But they're in this elevator and they get stuck. And it's just a scene where they're all talking about like, when I get out of this elevator.
This is what I'm going to do, right? And the one guy... It's the guy from Old Brother, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That has the whole thing. I'm going to marry my girlfriend.
Yeah,
I don't know what I've been waiting for, and I love her. And Tom Hanks realizes, and Parker Posey's being an obnoxious bitch.
Yeah, she says something really like petty. And,
yeah. And he's like, oh, I want to be with someone I love.
Yeah.
Like Meg Ryan.
Ryan? But it was a cool scene, and Parker Posey is really good.
Oh, yeah. No, she's great.
I love that there's when they first get in, when she's like, she says something like about Meg Ryan being like, not conniving, but it's some like negative aspect of her. And she's like, she reminds me of somebody. Oh, me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then when Tom Hanks,
she's self-aware.
Yeah, exactly. When Tom Hanks is trying to think of like, when I get out, she's like, where the fuck are my Tic Tacs?
Yeah.
Like, she interrupts him about tiny little. Yeah. And that's when he realizes he keeps the dog, which is the right move.
Yep.
Berkeley.
Keeps the dog.
Right. Berkeley.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moves into his boat.
Yeah, moves
and
into
then the later reveal when Dabney Coleman breaks up with, because you find out Dabney Coleman's stepmom that's been trying to sleep with Tom Hanks in the two scenes we've seen them together.
Yeah.
Has left with the maid, or the nanny, excuse me.
With the nanny, yeah.
And then you find out that Dabney Coleman has a boat right next to Tom Hanks's boat, which is just slightly bigger.
Yeah, just bigger. Also, though, he's like a very, very rich man. He doesn't have to move into a boat. He can move into a hotel.
I think, yeah, you're right. Although it's funny.
It feels like, and it also feels like it's tradition.
Yes, exactly.
He's I come to this boat. And he does have a lot of liquor there.
Which, I mean, look, living the boat life when you're a single dude.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a good life to live.
And it's a nice boat.
It's
you're
a very
just
nice boat.
Drinking and fucking. Yeah, that's how he's getting all the nannies.
Exactly. Just like, come over to that boat.
There's something weird about this movie where they talk about Stolichnaya like it's a very high end liquor. He goes to that nice party and he's like, give me a stoli
and
a stoli on the rocks and stuff. And then later when they're on the boat, he's like pouring stolichnaya and making like martinis out of it, you or think something it's just like that.
The license or the
maybe it was new back then,
or maybe it was new. Yeah,
maybe it was new and it hadn't come out, and it was like the best vodka that we had.
98 a big
a big Stolichna, yeah. Because now I know that's garbage.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's not garbage, but it's like not high end.
I mean, in the 2000s when I was drinking, Stoli was definitely, it wasn't seen as like rich people vodka, but it was definitely like, oh, Stoli. And
ooh, you brought some Stoli. All yeah.
right, nice. All right.
It was before Svetka. It was pre-Svetka. Yeah,
pre-sexy robot.
Pre-sexy robot yeah, vodka exactly. that we got. Do we still have that?
Sure.
The sexy robot? I think it's still there, right?
I hope so. Yeah. Don't tell me that the SJWs have taken another thing from us.
The sexy robot the vodka. The
sexy robot vodka.
Yeah. but it was really funny that he's like, they're drinking it on the boat. And I'm like, all these other bottles are like nice, high end, like crystal probably, bottles.
Well, and especially, I mean, if you're judging from the boat and the multi-million dollars, they're drinking, what, 25-year-old scotch, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. That's what it looked like. But nope, Stolichnaya is right in there. This point, also, you could have had Tom Hanks. Again, if you would have had a 20-year-old...
Right.
You could have had like him kind of like messing around with the 20-year-old at this point and figuring out like that's not what he wants. He
right.
Some Meg Ryan right. shit.
But again, you don't want him to be too dark.
Nope. Audiences would not like that.
Yes. He's America's sweetheart.
He goes to charm her. He charms her. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, the scenes with them are, again, very cute, very fun. I mean, you have two big movie stars. You have Nora Ephron's writing. They're very cute. They're very fun. They're light.
Yeah.
But the undercurrent of everything that's going on is kind of weird.
Yeah. And now they're okay to cheat with each other. They start
because now they're not charming cheating.
Her exactly. Yeah, I do.
And she starts falling for real Tom Hanks.
Yeah, even at the end, she's like, "I was really hoping it was you."
I was like,
"You could have said something." Yeah,
I guess they do.
You
have
got surprised, and now you—it's like when you get you're not ready to get married, but he proposes, and you're like, "Well, I'm not gonna say no." Yeah. Like, yeah, let's do this.
This is what I was hoping for.
Yeah, exactly. I've been wanting this, right? And then you talk yourself into it.
Yeah,
like I've been hanging out with him and we're getting along great, right? Like his dog and all that.
Yeah, nice. I mean, they did set up, I guess.
Actually, he'd never introduced her to the dog.
Until then, right. Because that's the big reveal, is that because she's waiting for him to show up with the dog.
With the dog with Berkeley, yeah. And then when she sees the dog coming, she's like, oh, here he comes, and it's him.
Yeah.
He should have brought the dog around.
Well, but that would have given him away because she already knew.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie.
It's a weird movie.
Yeah. It's also like 2 hours and 10 minutes. It was weird that it'd be that long.
Well, it's weird that it's that long and yet leaves so many things kind of hanging. Because again, we mentioned like Steve Zahn.
Well, he starts working. Doesn't he start working at the bookstore?
Who he does. I think he starts working at the bookstore. But in terms of like why is his character in there? Eh.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle. I guess just to be the friend for a few scenes.
Yeah.
The he's old lady doesn't really go anywhere. The stuff with the dad. I guess he's just supposed to be an example.
Yeah.
Even the stuff with the stepmom trying to fuck Tom Hanks, never really, there's no like big scene where she's like taking off his pants and someone catches him or something.
It does kind of feel like it's the last hurrah for like romantic comedies that 50-year-olds were going to like at the time.
Right.
Because it's like,
at least to be super successful financially.
Yeah.
And like theatrical release with big stars. Now that stuff is just, like you said, Lifetime movies.
Yeah.
Or Netflix movies.
There's a lot of Meryl Streep movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That people, but you think, when you think
they're,
about
they're
it.
They're like niche audience movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or movies that are deeper than this fucking movie. Like if you take Sideways. Right. Sideways is kind of like, It's appealing to the same demographic about the same type of topics. You're talking about cheating. You're talking about relationships. You're talking about passion, right. Your passion, and your flaws and all that stuff. But it's a much better movie than this movie.
Yeah. I mean, now these movies are art movies as opposed to like popcorn movies.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And this is kind of like the last hurrah for those popcorn movies for
adults.
Demographic.
Yeah. For all these, like romantic popcorn movies.
So that's why those bits are in there. They're all like, all those are like 1980s bits.
Right.
Like, they're all...
We're just keeping it light and fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hilarious, Fish Called Wanda type of thing. It's like misunderstandings. Hilarious, sure. Romantic misunderstandings.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I mean, it's okay.
I enjoyed it, but it's a weird movie.
Mm. It was just ironic to watch it. And yes. Be like,
given
big bookstores are now out.
They're now completely gone. And now you have some small bookstores coming back.
Yeah, now like little niche bookstores are kind of coming back. But even those.
I mean, it's still a huge struggle because the internet.
And they're like very hipstery still. Oh, yeah. So they're not very like. It's not like they're very, you know, like warm and like, oh, you can come in and find whatever you want. They're still kind of people like, oh, why don't you go to fucking Walmart?
Yeah, it's fucking snobs.
Yeah. So, or you got a bar in there. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
They put some craft beer in there and that's all you kind of need. Yeah. I mean, that's because they talk a lot about this, about coffee and like pastries and shit in the bookstore.
Craft beer is very much in the.
But nowadays you would do craft beer.
Yeah.
That apparently was where they set it up was a Barnes & Noble.
Right.
And which is shut down.
Barnes & Noble is still around, but Borders is gone.
Borders is gone.
And Barnes & Noble has very few locations.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe there is one left in Tucson.
Yep. Yeah. We have one left. But yeah, it's funny to me that be like, bookstores were just a giant conglomerate business.
Yeah.
That was taking over everything.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I guess.
Now it's a miracle if you can get someone to read more than 280 characters.
Yep. Yeah. So it's hilariously ironic to watch this movie and be like, oh, you guys are out now.
Yeah.
Like Amazon is it. Now you're fucking pointless. Now you don't exist anymore.
Yep.
And email is gone.
So what is Joe Fox doing now?
That's a good question.
Because Tom Hanks still very much alive, right? It's only been 20 years.
Yeah.
So
now he's Dabney Coleman's character, right?
Well, yes. But I mean, does him and Meg Ryan stay together? I guess is the first point.
No.
No?
You think they stay together?
I think they stay together. You don't think they stay together? Does she find out how he was lying to her for a very long time and get mad?
Yeah, like it's just there the whole time.
It's just there and finally it blows up.
Brewing.
And he's like, fine, I'll just go back. I'll do what my daddy did and fuck the nanny.
She's like, oh yeah, like that time that you didn't tell me that you were chatting with me the whole time?
Yeah.
Like she just keeps bringing it up
bringing it up. Eventually he has sex with the nanny and it all goes to hell.
Yeah. And it's gone south. And then he's back on the boat.
Yeah, back on the boat.
I would say he's probably on the boat now.
So now he's on the boat. And it's still the same boat, and it's kind of a little run down.
Yeah.
Does Fox Bookstores, does he still have one location?
It's true. Does he still have bookstores?
Did he pivot? Did he sell it?
Does he have Fox & Sons, like, coffee shop? Again, craft brewery?
Fox & Sons craft brewery?
I feel like there's no money in craft brewery.
No.
Craft breweries.
Maybe he has that one store that's still open.
He probably sold out to Amazon.
Although Amazon doesn't buy stores.
Or to Barnes & Noble or somebody, like, slightly bigger than him.
I don't think they would have bought him out, though.
Well, he was buying out other bookstores in the very beginning.
Yeah, but he was buying small bookstores. I don't think another big chain would have come along when bookstores were starting to fail.
Because Barnes & Noble didn't buy out Borders.
Yeah.
Borders just went out of business.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's not like he could...
Does he go the Borders route or does he go the Barnes & Noble route where he's barely hanging on, but he's hanging on? Or he
did he just liquidate everything and try and...
But still exists in Canada for some reason? Maybe.
Does he open up Overstock? Was Overstock Fox Books?
Yeah. Pets.com. He opened up Pets. Actually, maybe he opened up one of those online
an online bookstore. Or maybe he opens up one of those like monthly shipment boxes. It's like a mystery box of books.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just old Fox Books that he has back like in one of those giant warehouses.
He just needs to sell enough to stay afloat for a year before people start getting wise to his fucking shitty books that he's sending out. Yeah, that's a good.
Is he running scams? Is it? Oh, that's a good movie. If it's just Tom Hanks, 6-year-old Tom Hanks living on a boat running book scams, dealing with his bitchy ex-wife and
he's like
the two kids that hate him now.
McConaughey and Beach Bum, where he's just high all the time and living in fucking Tampa Bay. And
yeah, is he still living in the Manhattan Bay or is he? Has he moved? Is he down south somewhere?
He probably retired early.
Yeah.
He's probably retired early. He's got a wife that's younger than him, but still like 50.
Oh, really?
He's like in the 60s now. You know what I mean?
Just
like,
listening to Jimmy Buffett.
listening to Jimmy Buffett. Getting high now. He's cool with smoking the reefer.
Yeah.
He's
so you're going a little lighter than I was going pretty dark. You want it to still be a little light, a little fun.
Yeah. I want him to still be having a good time.
Yeah, he's just hanging out in Margaritaville.
Yeah, banging old ladies and stuff.
There you go.
Being that guy that's at all
down,
the bars.
Down in
and
Florida,
shit.
The STD capital of the world.
Dabney Coleman's still alive, but he's in a home somewhere. He doesn't care.
Yeah. I feel like Dabney Coleman's still out there swinging.
Yeah. I mean, what is he doing now?
I mean, maybe he's living at the home, but he's still swinging. He's getting it in more than Tom Hanks at the home, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With, like, super old ladies.
Yeah, goddamn right. Because it's Viagra now.
Yeah, exactly.
Where he wants. He's still hanging in there, though. I don't think him and Meg Ryan last, though.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Your relationship starting in a fucking AOL chat room?
Yeah.
That's not romantic.
Although I feel like, I mean.
He also destroyed his mother, her mother's bookstore.
That's true. That's going to be a big one to get over.
Yeah.
The lying, the destroying her mother's legacy.
And then maybe he tries to kind of like reopen it for her. And she's like, this is not the same.
Yeah,
like,
it's not
this
the same
is not
location.
My mother's bookstore.
It's not, yeah.
How about you go like, back in time and give me my fucking bookstore before you destroyed it? And then it becomes a big fight.
It becomes a big fight.
Where he worked really hard. And then who's there? The nanny.
Yeah.
So they're just hanging out talking one night. And then bam.
The kids are asleep. And
he's upset because of the fight.
Yep.
She's staying at her sister's house.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's only human. What is he going to do?
He's only human.
Not bang the nanny?
Nah, you're not going to not bang the nanny.
Yeah, come on.
It's the reason you hired that sexy-ass nanny in the first
yeah,
place.
Yeah, exactly. So you didn't hire a male nanny.
Yeah.
Just for the, like, the off
just
chance.
Just for the, yeah, you know. You lie to yourself. You say, no, it's just because, you know, she's nurturing and she's
nice.
She's nurturing.
Yeah, exactly.
But
no.
You know.
Yeah. There's an off
you
chance.
You know in your heart.
There's always an off chance. Yeah. So you go with it. You run with it. Anyway, so they end up together at the end. Not much of a final speech.
No.
You don't get a like, listen, no matter what we've been through. Like,
yeah,
you don't get anything
he doesn't
like
have
that.
A big, there's no big Tom
he
Hanks
does like a shrug.
Bearing his soul.
He
it's
shows
just
up
like,
and
hey,
he's like,
it's me, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. It really is that. He's like, what am I going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's me. And then she's like, oh, I was hoping it was you. And then fucking
that's it.
Over the Rainbow plays. And then that's it. That's the end of the fucking movie. How do we fix this movie?
I feel like we just did with the sequel where he's living in Florida. But if we're actually fixing this movie, do we make it today? Do we just make it? It's all tender and.
Ugh.
With fake profiles.
And he's like Bezos.
Yeah. He's Bezos and she owns a giant bookstore conglomerate.
Yeah. So he's destroying her business?
She was a multimillionaire yep. that owned 400 stores across America.
Yeah, and he's like Bezos, who owns like a fucking Amazon or Alibaba type
yeah,
of...
Yeah, and they're both on Tinder, but using fake pictures.
Yep, using fake pictures because they're too famous.
Yeah,
they're
too
all over
famous,
the news all
exactly.
the time.
Yeah. Or they're on the famous Tinder that's
oh,
only for celebrities.
Yeah, that celebrity Tinder.
Yeah, the celebrity Tinder.
Ah, what a fucking ridiculous thing that is.
I mean, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him
if
at all.
If I could get on the celebrity Tinder, you know damn well I'd be on there.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's one of those you got to get invited, right?
Yeah.
And you got to like pass, you got to put pictures of yourself and make sure and pass like criteria.
Verification and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Verification.
They have to look you up and be like, are you famous enough? How many movies have you been? Oh, two movies?
I also,
come on.
I thought that the whole thing when you're famous is that you want to meet somebody who's not fucking famous. Like that's what I thought was like
that's
one of the things.
That's definitely not the thing.
But that's what they say it
that's
is.
What they say, but they're lying.
They're lying, right? Yeah. I thought
although you would think
like
because...
You're like, oh, I met this small town girl and I'm going to change your life and then I fell in love with her. But instead they're like, fuck that small town girl.
She
I want somebody
understand.
At my same level of fucking rich, rich and fame. Yeah.
And then of course you definitely don't want that person to be to gain after you get together. You don't want them to become more famous than you.
No, that's a kiss of death.
Exactly. That throws off the dynamics entirely.
Yeah, that's a Kardashian situation.
Yep.
And nobody wants that.
Nobody wants it.
You're stuck with more Kardashians.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Oh God, no more Kardashians.
No. Yeah, it proves that famous people just want to be around other famous people.
Yeah.
And rich people.
And rich people.
And more importantly, attractive people.
Well,
like,
yes.
Like model important. Attractive
Yeah,
people.
Model attractive, yeah.
Because you got to go on the red carpet and you can't have a small town girl with big tits on there. Because then they're just going to talk about her big tits and how she's a small town girl. And they're going to keep calling her chubby when she's not actually chubby. She's just got big boobs.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's going to be very hurtful. To her, which is going to put a strain on your relationship.
Yeah.
And you're never going to have a normal relationship because the whole time she's going to be like, well, you're out there with all those fucking famous girls and models and stuff that. And he's like, I don't care about that. I care about you. And she's like, well, then how come you're on the paper with them? And then it's going to become a whole thing.
Whole thing.
So then he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to date models and if I'm getting accused of it all the time.
Yep.
And then you end up joining model Tinder. All right. Making sense to me now.
Yep.
Yeah. Nobody wants to... I guess nobody wants to slum it out that hard. It's like going to Tinder, go to Kentucky and stuff. And
I go on Tinder there. Yeah.
If you're from LA,
it is funny.
Probably not fun.
It is funny, the levels, and this is not necessarily to make fun of anybody, but I'm definitely going to offend some people right now. So, like, when we, because we're both in Arizona, when we go to California to visit, we're like, God damn, there's a lot of hot people out here in California. Yeah. But I had a friend from Michigan come down to Arizona, and he was like, God damn, there's a lot of hot people down here.
And you're like, what? Yeah, really? Are you sure?
Here?
Just, but people in LA come to Arizona, they're like, gross.
Yep.
So the moral of the story is go live in LA.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you're a Kentucky 5 or a Minnesota 5 or an Arizona 5, go to LA.
You're a one.
You're a one there. Yeah. See what it's like.
It's more like if you're
and then come back.
I would say if you're in LA now and you're an 8 in LA, go anywhere else in the country, you're a 10.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everyone's going to be fucking worshiping you.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Also, Tinder is garbage, so you know.
Well, I mean, you don't have to go on Tinder. You can just go if you're an 8 in LA, like, yeah. I said, you know, the red carpet's open for you in the rest of the country.
Yeah, that's true.
You can just walk in anywhere and people are going to fall down for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Anyway, we fixed it with some Tinder stuff?
Yeah, I guess so, right? Hinge, Bezos and stuff? I don't know. Stuff.
No, I mean, what if you throw Billy Crystal in here in this?
It's good.
Yeah, exactly. What if it's Billy Crystal? Now, Billy Crystal and Tom Hanks are falling for each other.
Okay. So which one's, is Billy Crystal playing the Meg Ryan role?
Yes.
Because I don't know that that works. I think you got to switch them.
Do you got Tom Hanks be the Meg Ryan?
Because Tom Hanks is such a sweetheart.
It's true. And that's maybe why these characters seem not so compelling to me, is because they're kind of the same character.
Yeah.
Like they're at the same level of wittiness. Neither of them is an asshole.
Neither of them is too much of an asshole. Neither one of them super funny, but they're both kind of funny.
And they're both kind of charming.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're both like kind of like humble and relatable and
right.
stuff like
but
that.
But if we switch it, we bring Billy Crystal bringing maximum snarky asshole Billy Crystal as the Fox bookstore guy. And then you just have cute and humble Tom Hanks
as the small bookstore guy.
As the small bookstore guy. Now we got ourselves a movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, we still got Dabney Coleman in there, obviously.
Obviously, come on.
Dave Chappelle can now be the... I'm going to put Dave Chappelle as a Parker Posey character.
Okay.
Move him into that.
Sure. Give him a little more screen time.
Give him a little more screen time.
Yeah.
And make him kind of a funny, like, pothead dick. I think that would be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we bring Oliver Platt in, obviously, for the friend character. Because once we bring Billy Crystal, and he's not coming in without Oliver Platt. You need those old school 80s friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you bring that guy in. I would still say Billy Crystal's still dating. No, Billy Crystal's dating Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle, right.
So who's Tom Hanks dating instead of Greg Kinnear?
That's a good... I mean, it can't be Greg Kinnear, I guess?
No.
What about Wilson the Volleyball?
Oh, yeah. That's Wilson the Volleyball.
I mean, Wilson the Volleyball, his true love. We've talked about this before.
We can have a lot of talk where he's like, you never... It's because you're not here emotionally. It's just a shot at the volleyball.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's always me giving it to the relationship. What do you bring to the relationship?
Shout out to the volleyball.
Just a volleyball. Yeah. It's a good bit.
Yeah, it's always a good bit. It works every time.
Yeah, especially because then all the dialogue is from him, Tom Hanks. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, you and your typewriter is just a volleyball on top of a typewriter. Yeah. You really, like, he's in the party, but he's just like floating in the punch bowl. Why is it when you're always flirting with that reporter lady?
Yeah.
And it's just like in the studio with headphones on. Still a volleyball.
It's funny every time.
Every single time.
Every single time they do the joke. It's funny.
Also, Billy Crystal and Dabney Coleman are around the same age.
Yeah.
But he's still playing his dad.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. 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 I'll buy it.
Yeah. That happens in movies all the time. Yeah. It's fine.
Billy Crystal at this time, he's still bringing it with Analyze This. So.
Yeah. And Billy Crystal's like 5'1".
Yeah.
And Dabney Coleman's like a full grown man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a full grown man size. So I buy it. Yeah. Yeah. He could still pet him on the head.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm on board with this. And also, it would have been super trailblazing. You just have homosexual.
God, yeah. Yeah. Tom Hanks and Billy Crystal playing gay people in love in 1998. That would have been.
And I'm really hoping that they do that now. They should, for their career, probably a pretty good move.
Probably. What's the last thing Billy Crystal's been in? It has been a minute.
Was it a basketball thing? Is he going to be in the new Space Jam?
I don't know. He wasn't in the first one, was he?
No, but still, he seems like a thing he would come back for.
Yeah, it seems like a thing he could do. Yeah. I don't know. There's no New York Knicks involved because, you know, the Knicks.
Yeah, because it's the Knicks.
Yeah.
Is Bill Murray going to be in it?
I hope so. I mean, that's the only reason I would see it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I mean, Michael Jordan, I guess.
He's definitely not going to be in it.
No, right?
He's got too much beef.
Yeah, he's got beef. That's right.
There's no way he's going to be in LeBron's movie.
Yeah, that's true. And we're going to get more weird sounding fucking Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
God. I'm not looking forward to that movie. I don't think. It's going to go to HBO, right?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not going to see it anyways.
No. You know, it would be cool. And this is a thing that Scorsese will talk about other shit. Like when 3D came out, he's like, you can make any movie 3D and have it work for you. You can make, he said, you make Precious 3D.
Yeah.
You could make You've Got Mail into a half animated cartoon movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. A half animated movie. Pretty solid. Yeah.
Now, if it was Bugs Bunny and Meg Ryan falling in love in 1998.
Now we're talking, right?
Now we're talking.
Yeah. See?
He's got that sharp wit.
And then now, like, the people working for her in the bookstore is like Daffy Duck and Donald Duck.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. See? And then now, like, Daphne Coleman is like Yosemite Sam.
Oh, my God. Now, that's so good.
Yep. The dog is Pluto. Like, yeah. Now everybody's a fucking character.
Yeah. If you do, I mean, you could do it, obviously, all Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
It would work.
Yeah.
But even if you did it with 80% Looney Tunes and the rest are regular people.
Yeah. Like you would, or like a Muppet movie.
Yeah.
Where they're all Muppets except for like five people.
Except you have cameos from super famous people that come in and do funny stuff.
So it's still Meg Ryan. Now it's Meg Ryan and Kermit.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
And then Miss Piggy is his current girlfriend that's not good for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I upset some of the fans, but I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Cool
we're subverting expectations.
I still want Meg Ryan to be the lead, the female lead in this.
Okay. Fair.
And then you get, like you said.
Or do you just get Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks still, but then everyone else in the movie is Muppets?
Oh, yeah. That's probably the way you go.
Yeah. Probably, right?
You probably go with that. Everybody else is Muppets. Oh, the part where like they're asking for advice, she's asking like Miss Piggy for advice,
right?
Kermit is now Dave Chappelle's character.
Yes, of course. Kermit is
he's
Dave Chappelle's
friend
you
character.
Get the old guys from the balcony to play Dabney Coleman's character.
God.
And the grandfather.
Yes, exactly. And then now instead of like Zahn, it's like Fozzie.
Yes,
making some jokes.
I mean, they're basically the same
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, he's wearing like a fucking hipster hat.
Yeah
they're and animals in there somewhere banging on some shit.
Yes.
It's just like a, it's always like a you pull away to just Animal in the Bookstore banging some shit. And like,
yes, I like it.
Yeah. Or like Rizzo doing some bits.
Yeah.
Or the fucking the prawn dude, Pepe or whatever the fuck his name is.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. I'm really on board with this Muppet movie, You Got Mail.
Yeah. If we remade You Got Mail with Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Still Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Oh, yeah. We should, I think, should at least do an episode of The Muppets with it.
Yes. If we go back and we renew The Muppet Show in 1999.
Yes.
And they come back and do that as an episode.
And do one episode. There's some pigs in space in there. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, we can still, I mean, look, if we're bringing it back in 99, we can do You Got Mail Muppet style. We can do Matrix Muppet style. We can do Jurassic Park Muppet style.
I feel like that's going how we're going to fix every movie from now on. And yes, all of it is an improvement.
Yes.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phantom Menace Muppet style. I mean, they already have a lot of Muppets. But.
There's already a lot of Muppets in there. Also, what year that Muppets from Space come out? It might have been in the 90s, right?
I thought it was in the 90s.
Yeah, it might have been in the 90s. So the Muppets were still like a very, they were still making money. They were still like becoming movies. So yeah, you could totally do that. Gonzo is
1999.
Oh shit, see?
Yeah.
You could have done You Got Mail. Shame.
In space. You could have done Muppet, You Got Mail in space, combine them all together.
Shame on Nora Ephron for not thinking this could be a Muppet movie.
Yep.
Because it 100% could be a Muppet movie.
Yep.
The plot is so simple, and it relies a lot on other characters.
Mm-hmm.
You could totally just make them all Muppets.
All right, I think we fixed this movie.
Also, Muppet books would be all over this fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which are always awesome when they make inanimate objects into Muppets.
Yeah, that is good.
All right, anyway, so yeah, we fixed this movie.
We fixed the movie. We'll be back next week to talk about we're doing like a 180. We're talking about a movie from the beginning of the decade.
Yeah.
An action classic.
And we're going from a chick flick to a dude flick.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's Die Hard Part 2.
Die Hard Part 2.
Die Harder.
We never got a Die Hardest.
Nope.
But we should have. Part three should have been that.
Yep.
But, you know.
But it also had a very good name.
It did.
Actually, yeah. All of them have good names. Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live Free or Die Hard, A Good Day to Die Hard. That's not bad.
Yeah, those are all good names.
They're all good names. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all, yeah. Just the movies are not that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Die Hard 2. It's going to be fun.
Live Free or Die Hard. I still think that's a great name. I mean, it's the best part of the movie. It's
yeah,
just the
title. Only good thing. Yeah. Yeah. Good Day to Die Hard 2. It's the best part of the movie.
Yeah. It's good stuff. All right, so we'll be back next week to talk about that. Until then, remember to like, share, subscribe on all of your podcast platinums. All your
platinum records.
Records that we have of our podcast.
Yeah, we put them on vinyl. You can buy them on vinyl like old Steve Martin comedies. Stanhope's.
That's right, that's right. But remember to subscribe on all your podcast, whatever, the rate, review. And email us at blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com. Tell your friends. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you. I do think it's interesting and cool that you can buy like a vinyl of John F. Kennedy's address to the nation.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, like they would just put presidential speeches on vinyl and shit like that.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, because you would listen to it on the radio and it's a moment in history or whatever, and then you'd buy the vinyl. But it's also like, come here and sit down and listen to the president talk.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's all you had, but
yeah. Back then, people respected the president.
Yeah. So, back when the whole country respected the president. Back when the whole
country respected, even if you didn't vote for him.
No, you were like,
it's still the president.
He's still the president. Yeah. We still have to listen to what he says.
Yeah.
He still knows better than I do.
I know. I'm about just a jackass. I don't know shit. Yeah.
People would used to think that way. I'm just
riveting in a fucking factory 20 hours a day. I don't know as much as the president.
What do I know about how much people should get paid? I don't know that. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, back then when people thought that way.
Yeah, I'm out here making carburetors. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now you're making $14 an hour and you're like, I'll be goddamn if a fucking person in McDonald's makes as much as I do.
Yeah.
I know better than that shit. Fuck that. Yep. No, back then you'd just be like the president.
They're like, hey, I dropped out of college after 1 year. I know better than these smart pants up in Hollywood. Yeah, fucking
high school
Washington,
kids.
D.C. over there.
Yep.
I don't know what they think they know, but I know.
Yep. Back then, you would gather your family, put a record of the president talking, and be like, listen to this man. This is who you should be paying attention to.
That's right. This is the leader of the free world right here.
Ah, yep. That's good old days, I guess.
Good old days.
I mean, they should do that now. They should just put a record out of...
I mean, the Trump comedy record would be incredible.
Be pretty good. Yeah. Oh, you could do like a 10-part series on that shit. Yeah. I would buy them. I would buy them.
I mean, they would be really fun.
Yeah. It would just be a lot of like, what? What?
I imagine if you played them for someone in like 40 years or whatever, like if you take a kid that was born today and you play them for them when they're 20 years old, it'll be like, oh, is this like a satire? Is this, you know, is Ricky Gervais or something doing
somebody's
a character?
Somebody's making fun of the president? Yeah. No, I feel like in 20 or 30 years, they're going to be so used to garbage politics.
That's true.
They're going to be like, wow, what a well-spoken man. what well-thought-out ideas this guy has.
Yeah.
As opposed to this fucking guy that's talking about fucking frogs all day. And he won't stop talking about it. And we voted him into office.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's just going to keep getting worse and worse.
Oh, it's true. Oh, fuck.
Because when you think about how people thought of Nixon, like, especially like...
Yeah, it could never get worse than Nixon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People thought like, it's never going to get worse than this fucking guy.
Yeah.
And now you're like, nah, Nixon was a very charming, well, thought out...
He was a good politician.
Yeah, he was a great politician. He said some very...
Smart guy.
Yeah.
I made a few mistakes, but smart guy, good man, family man.
Exactly. If you met him, you know, he was the center of the room.
Yeah,
he would
charm the pants right off.
Yep. Yep, that's where we're headed.
Yeah. God damn, you're so right. It's incredibly sad to me. Oh, boy.
So if they did make the Trump record, I would buy it in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Platinum.
Platinum.